It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it is 45 degrees under overcast skies. At the airport, they have 97% humidity, easterly winds at 12 miles per hour, and 10 miles of visibility. Just a 40% chance of rain for the rest of the day, a 50% chance of rain tonight, and just a chance of rain followed by scattered showers tomorrow. For Friday, we're back to a 40% chance of rain. And starting Friday night, they're saying rain is pretty dang likely. Coming up on the Midday Report, Governor Mike Dunleavy is among those who think a gas pipeline might finally be viable in Alaska. But is it just a pipe dream? That story and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Generations of fans are paying tribute to the musician widely celebrated as the Queen of Rock and Roll. Reps for Tina Turner confirmed the Grammy-winning artist and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee died today at her home in Switzerland following a long illness. She was 83 years old. NPR's Netta Ulaby looks back at a decades-long career during which Turner catapulted to superstardom.
What can you say about Tina Turner that her voice does not tell you already? Tina Turner's life was hard. She started her career at age 17, and 20 years later started it all over again when she left her abusive husband to go solo. In her 40s, Tina Turner's unquenchable drive would earn her 8 Grammys, a lucrative touring career that lasted into her 70s, and memorable roles in the movies. That hard life became, in her own words, a Cinderella story, one she saw turned into a Broadway musical and an acclaimed film. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
Today marks 1 year since a gunman entered an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, and killed 21 people, 19 children and 2 teachers who died trying to shield them. Sacred Heart Catholic Church held mass to bring a grieving community together, while the botched law enforcement response and fumbles from authority figures compounded the horror caused by the mass shooting at Robb Elementary School. Texas Public Radio's Camille Phillips reports Uvalde has seen a lot of leadership changes this year, but calls for state leaders to step down have gone unheeded.
Uvalde's entire school police force has been replaced. A new interim superintendent is in charge of the school district, and a new assistant city police chief joined the force earlier this month. But only a few officers with the Texas Department of Public Safety have lost their jobs, and the state's top law enforcement officer, Steve McCraw, is still in charge.
That's Camille Phillips reporting. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is expected later today to formally announce his campaign for the Republican presidential nomination. NPR's Kelsey Snell reports DeSantis will make his campaign official during an event on Twitter.
DeSantis has been on the path to announcing his campaign for months. He's made stops in early voting states like Iowa and New Hampshire. A group of allies already launched a super PAC to support his bid, and former President Trump, who once endorsed DeSantis, is already funding ads attacking the Florida governor. DeSantis has developed a national profile as a cultural conservative, calling himself, quote, the anti-woke candidate.
NPR's Kelsey Snell reporting. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closes the day down 255 points at 32,799. It's NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Governor Mike Dunleavy convened energy leaders in Anchorage on Tuesday for the second Alaska Sustainable Energy Conference. A big focus of the first day of the meetings was a familiar proposal, an 800-mile natural gas pipeline to run from the North Slope to the Kenai Peninsula. In a pre-recorded statement, Senator Dan Sullivan, a strong proponent of the pipeline, argued that Alaska is well positioned to supply natural gas internationally.
We know we have enormous natural gas, conventional natural gas resources on the North Slope, over 40 trillion cubic feet of proven reserves. That's at least a 50-year supply for us and our allies in Asia.
Russia's invasion of Ukraine last year added uncertainty to the world natural gas market, and some energy leaders argue that exporting Alaska's natural gas could offer energy stability to parts of Asia, plus thousands of jobs at home. But the so-called Alaska LNG project has been tossed around for decades and mostly failed to get traction because of the overwhelming cost. Estimates place the price tag at around $40 billion. While permitting on the project has moved forward, critics like Larry Persily, former federal coordinator of Alaska Natural Gas Transportation Projects, say the cost and time required to get the pipeline built are still prohibitive.
There's a lot of LNG in the world that is less risky than the Alaska project, and I think that is always going to haunt this, and nothing has changed.
Persily added that as the world transitions away from fossil fuels, he thinks there may not be significant demand for natural gas by the time a pipeline is built. Klawak on Prince of Wales Island went about 5 months without a police chief or even a police department. But that changed on Friday when Corey White was sworn in as chief of police for the town of 800 people. KRBD's Reagan Miller reports.
Corey White moved to Klawak from Polson, Montana on a reservation. He was looking for a change.
I've always been the person in every department that I've worked at that's been a problem solver and helped to make it better and more improved from what it was when I got there. And talking to a lot of people, it sounds like there was a lot of things that need to be done here, updating, you know, enforcing laws and different things. And I like a good challenge, and so it kind of was right up my alley.
White replaces Terry Stonecipher, Klawak's longtime police chief who died in early January. Stonecipher had been the chief of police since 2005. When he died, the town had been relying on Alaska State Troopers and Village Public Safety Officers for emergencies, or Craig's police department about 6 miles away if they were on hand. White says one of his priorities will be combating the addictive drug fentanyl. It's a synthetic opioid around 50 times stronger than heroin, and it's been linked to a recent spike in overdoses in Alaska. White says it was a big problem in Montana, too, where he says it was an everyday issue.
The biggest thing here that I'm hearing is just the presence of law enforcement and getting involved in investigating the drug issue, because as you are aware, the fentanyl across the United States and is becoming just out of hand. It's a major issue, and people are losing their lives, and so I want to really hammer that hard.
White is looking forward to getting to know Klawak better. He says he wants residents to be open and honest.
The biggest thing I can tell you is that I'm open, I'm honest, and I appreciate everybody's efforts in letting me know what's going on, and together as a team and a community, we can accomplish a lot more than if they were to withhold information and not be willing to communicate with me.
Klawak's mayor, Nick Nickerson, says White is a good fit for the community. He was sworn in earlier this month.
He understands small-town community. He understands, you know, educating the community and utilizing the resources that are available in our community and on Prince of Wales Island, you know, so the community is very excited to have him.
But Klawak's police department is still critically understaffed. Nickerson says progress is being made to hire more officers. A couple of applications have been reviewed with at least one likely hire in the mix.
And as of last week, we did receive two more applications, and those will go up to the State Safety Council for approval.
Nickerson says the department can employ four officers. In Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
A Soldotna teacher and union president was arrested last weekend for sexual abuse of a minor. The incident, troopers say, occurred years ago while he was a high school teacher. KDLL's Riley Board has the story.
Nathan Erfurth was arrested Saturday and charged with second and fourth degree sexual abuse of a minor. Erfurth, 34, was a teacher at Soldotna High School and, for the past 2 years, president of the Kenai Peninsula Education Association, or KPEA. Charging documents say a former student of Erfurth's reported years of sexual abuse to the Soldotna Police Department last month. Investigators with Alaska State Troopers say she reported knowing Erfurth since ninth grade when they developed a personal relationship while she was a student at Soldotna Prep, and he was her teacher. Their close relationship was investigated twice by Soldotna Police in 2016 and 2017, but they brought no criminal charges. According to Troopers, the student says she and Erfurth continued to communicate with the app Signal, which allows messages to disappear after being read. She told Troopers the two began a sexual relationship in 2017 while she was 17 years old, which continued for the next 2 years, usually at a small house on his property. In April, Troopers say they obtained a warrant and recorded a conversation between the former student and Erfurth, during which she told him she'd kept a journal documenting their encounters and that her partner had found the journal and planned to bring it to the police. According to Troopers, Erfurth expressed anger and frustration about this and said it would lead to him spending years in jail. Erfurth was arrested Saturday at his home without incident, according to a dispatch. Erfurth's lawyer, Eric Derleth, didn't return a request for comment before airtime. Clayton Holland, superintendent of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, said the district is aware of the charges. He said, quote, "Student safety and welfare is the highest priority for the district. We're working closely with law enforcement in this investigation and are unable to provide further comment at this time." A representative from KPEA did not return requests for comment about the status of the KPEA presidency before airtime. Erfurth was arraigned Sunday morning, and his bail was set at $50,000. He's charged with a felony for second-degree sexual abuse of a minor and a misdemeanor for fourth-degree sexual abuse of a minor. His first pretrial appearance is set for 4 p.m. on May 31st. In Kenai, I'm Riley Board.
On Tuesday night, the Anchorage Assembly rejected paying more than $500,000 toward a settlement with former municipal manager Amy Demboski, who alleged numerous illegal and unethical activities by Mayor Dave Bronson's administration after she was fired in November. But the body unanimously agreed to pay more than $250,000 towards a legal settlement with another former employee, Heather McAlpine, who alleged she was fired illegally. Most community members who testified at the Tuesday meeting opposed paying out both settlement amounts. Resident William Burke says it's unfair to make taxpayers pay for city leaders' actions.
The average property taxes in Anchorage is $3,500 a household. I'm a lifelong conservative, right? 232 households are going to have to pay for this.
For McAlpine, former director of the city's Office of Equal Opportunity, the settlement agreement comes after almost a year after she sued Bronson's administration for wrongful termination. She alleged her firing was retaliation for investigating workplace complaints against the mayor's ally and former library director, Judy Elledge. Demboski has not yet sued, but laid out her concerns in a letter to city leaders and asked for a written apology and a settlement to avoid going to court. Assembly Vice Chair Meg Zalatel expressed frustration over having to weigh the settlement for legal actions by the Bronson administration. However, she warned that going to court could be more costly.
We have to weigh the pros and the cons of what this could cost, what the Demboski allegations could cost if it were to be litigated against this settlement.
South Anchorage member Zach Johnson opposed paying out Demboski's settlement, saying he thinks it's important for the facts of her claims to come out in court.
it's hard to put a dollar value on the truth. And the reality is I believe that if we settle this today, then that is the end of the question. And the veracity of Ms. Domboski's claims will never be tested. I don't know whether or not everything she alleged actually happened, but whether it did or didn't matters to me. If her claims were false, then let's establish that. But if they're true, then we also need to know that.
Assembly members voted 8-4 in opposition to paying for Domboski's settlement, with Meg Zalatil, Kevin Cross, Randy Solti, and Scott Myers in favor. The assembly members voted in favor of McAlpine's settlement unanimously, largely citing her desire to settle. The assembly also unanimously approved an ordinance requiring that information on future legal settlements made against the city be made public, including the nature, amounts, and parties to settlements. The new Alaska ferry Hubbard carried its first passengers on Tuesday. The boat, which was built in the Ketchikan shipyard, is the latest addition to the Marine Highway fleet. It now links Juneau, Haines, and Skagway every day but Mondays. KHNS's Alan Alan DePremenil got a tour of the new boat on its first stop in Haines.
Getting the MV Hubbard online has matched the slow pace of its namesake glacier. Construction started in 2014, and it took 4 years to complete. Then, due to some quirks of management and planning, the Marine Highway System decided to change course and upgrade the boat with crew quarters to allow it to run continuously.
This is all steel deck here. They added these modules on. All the unlicensed crew lives on this deck.
Captain Gabe Bayless points to 40 feet of living quarters that have been added to the upper deck. In addition, a crew lunchroom has been converted to sleeping quarters. The ship's passenger capacity didn't change. It was built to hold 300.
Well, we can go take a look at the galley. We're trying to make it work. It's a different configuration, and it's kind of condensed in size.
The galley is tight, but the new stainless steel shines, and Bayless is confident that once a permanent cook gets assigned to the boat, some warm meals can be provided to passengers.
I don't anticipate this vessel ever being able to serve hot meals to 300 people. But perhaps on the lighter loads, we will be able to serve hot meals.
Bayless says with a full load of passengers, the new galley will turn out soups, salads, and sandwiches that will be sold at the cafeteria. Adding crew quarters cost $15 million and delayed the boat's maiden voyage until this week. On Tuesday morning, the Hubbard sailed up the Lynn Canal with about 70 passengers on board. But its long-awaited docking in Haines was further delayed. The ferry Columbia was carrying an unusual load of heavy equipment and was late leaving the Haines ferry terminal. The Hubbard's crew had no choice but to circle around Lutac Inlet for an hour and a half until the Columbia left. Finally, about 9 years and 90 minutes after construction began, the MV Hubbard let out its first load of passengers. Haines resident Tom Faverty was one of them.
Except for the delay at the end, it was a beautiful voyage. The boat was very clean and very well organized, and it's nice to have another ship in the Upper Lynn Canal. We need it.
The Hubbard can hold more than 50 cars. Its top speed is about the same as an electric scooter. It's 50 feet longer than the ferry LeConte. The Marine System has said that bringing the Hubbard online in the Lynn Canal will free the LeConte to increase ferry service in other Southeast communities. AMHS has had difficulties recently hiring and retaining staff. Captain Bayless says a ship like the Hubbard is well positioned to address the problem.
We're going to have a smaller crew size, which I personally kind of like. It makes it feel like a more efficient operation and then also a closer-knit crew.
Bayless says having a new ship will improve morale. He says although he loves the 60-year-old Malaspina, a recently retired ship in the fleet, he could see that working on a slowly decaying vessel had an impact on the crew's energy. He points to an area on the Hubbard's deck where a crew will be able to have barbecues when in the shipyard.
It's a great opportunity. If you focus on the good of these ships, they're great ships. And the things that are bad or a little off, I know are going to improve in time. So it's great to be part of a it's more of a living thing and a growing thing.
The car deck of the Hubbard is spacious, wide open. This allows the crew to quickly load and unload in port. Bayless has to cut our tour short when his radio announces the ship is ready to leave for Skagway. The turnaround time in Haines was only 20 minutes. Bayless says he expects by tonight they will have made up much of the delay the boat just incurred. For KHNS, I'm Alan DePremenil.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
Two big-name retailers offer good news. I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Minute. Earnings reports from Kohl's and Abercrombie & Fitch today beat analysts' expectations. Both posted a surprise profit for the first quarter of the year. Abercrombie also raised its annual sales forecast, saying costs, such as transportation, are declining. The House of Representatives narrowly approved a bill to overturn tougher emission standards for heavy-duty trucks. The Senate approved the measure last month, arguing tougher standards would increase freight costs. The White House says President Biden will veto the bill. The Treasury Department is trying to more accurately forecast when the country will run short of cash. It's asking federal agencies to specify upcoming payments. The forecast default date is June 1st, unless the debt ceiling is raised. I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by JLL, providing commercial real estate investment and technology. See a brighter way.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 24th day of May, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 5:29. It will set again at 11:44. That will give us 17 hours and 15 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 3 minutes and 29 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 71 degrees, set in 1991, and our record low was 31. That was set in 1975 and then again in 1999. Currently 45 degrees under overcast skies. Out at the airport, they are showing east winds at 12 miles per hour. They have 97% humidity and 10 miles of visibility. The Weather Service is calling for a 40% chance of rain for the rest of the afternoon and a 50% chance of rain tonight. Mostly cloudy skies through the period with a high near 47 today and an overnight low of 42. Southeast winds to 10, turning to the south overnight. For tomorrow, chance of rain before 10 a.m., then scattered showers between 10 and 4. Chance of rain after 4 p.m. Mostly cloudy skies tomorrow with a high near 48. East winds to 10, becoming northeast in the afternoon. Sounds like a pretty pleasant day. For Thursday night, just a chance of rain before 10, followed by scattered showers, and a 40% chance of rain for Friday. Looking at our local tides, the tide is just turning now. That happened at 12:01 here on the east side, the 0-foot tide, and just happened at 12:23 on the west side. That was a 1/10 of a foot tide in Larson Bay. Our next high tide here in the city of Kodiak will happen at 6:50 p.m. and be 5.9 feet. Over in Larson Bay, your high tide will happen at 6:56 p.m. and be 10.3 feet. Mariners, here's your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak, out to 15 nautical miles offshore. South winds today and tonight, seas to 7 feet. For tomorrow, variable 10, seas to 5 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, small craft advisory for today, northeast 25, should become variable 15 during the afternoon. 8-foot seas are expected to subside to 4 feet this afternoon. And for tonight, variable 10, seas to 3 feet. For tomorrow, on our west side, northeast 15, seas to 3 feet. Meetings coming up in the Kodiak Island Borough include tonight's meeting of the Solid Waste Advisory Board. They will be having their regular meeting in the Kodiak Fisheries Center Conference Room at 5:15 p.m. tonight. Tomorrow night, the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having a special meeting followed by a work session. That's happening at the Borough Assembly Chambers, 6:30 p.m. And a week from tomorrow, next Thursday, the Assembly will be having their next regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. All these meetings are open to the public, and meeting packets are available at the Kodiak Island Borough website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. And remember, assembly meetings are live streamed on the Kodiak Island Borough YouTube channel. If you subscribe, they will send you live stream notifications. Remember, all borough offices and facilities will be closed to the public on Monday, May 29th, in observance of Memorial Day. The Kodiak City Council will be holding a regular meeting on Thursday. That's happening in the Kodiak Public Library and will begin at 7:30 p.m. The meeting is open to the public, and public members are encouraged to tune in here on KMXT at 100.1 FM. We will also be broadcasting the meeting live. The meeting will also be web streamed, and the web streaming link and meeting packets are available at the City of Kodiak website. For those who wish to request printed meeting materials or have any questions at all, contact the clerk's office at 907-486-8636. And starting tomorrow, the Kodiak Community Blood Drive, that's happening at the Alaska Army National Guard Armory at 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday through Monday. Schedule your appointment with Tara Cup at 907-654-5300. That's 907-654-5300. All are invited to walk with the Kodiak Pride Float and the Crab Fest Parade. Rainbow attire is encouraged. And they're meeting at Main Elementary this Saturday. Meet at the float at 9:45 in the morning. The parade runs from 10 to 11:30. And the idea is to promote visibility, community, and inclusivity. You can find out more at the Kodiak Pride Facebook page. But again, meet Saturday at the float at 9:45 at Main Elementary. The Kodiak Public Library Association annual used book sale begins on Friday. That starts at 1 p.m. for members and at 2 p.m. for the general public at the Kodiak Public Library. Memberships may be purchased at the sale or online. The book sale will be going on from Friday starting at 1 going to 5 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday it will be noon to 5 p.m., and then they're going to skip a day and go to Tuesday 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. More information about the book sale and how you can volunteer to help can be found at the website kpla.us, and books are $5 a bag. You can bring your own bag. Other things going on in the library include Monday's 6:30 p.m. Oh, that already happened, I guess. But tonight is the monthly meeting of the writers group. They meet tonight at 5:30 p.m. If you'd like to pursue, improve, or share your writing, it's for patrons 14 and older. Call 486-8686 to make sure it's not full, but that is tonight at 5:30 at the library. The library will be closed May 29th on Monday for Memorial Day. But otherwise, Bridge Club meets every Monday at 1 p.m. at the library. All interested players are welcomed. On Wednesdays at 3:30 p.m., the library offers their famous Lego Club. Children under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. And Thursdays at 10:30 a.m., the library is hosting their Lap Sit Story Time. It's for babies 0 to 3 and their adults. Join volunteer Abby Hanna to share a story and a song with some quality time to play and socialize. And remember, it's that time again, that time of year. Saturdays at 10:15 a.m. are library hive checks. Kids under 5 must watch from inside, and children under 13 must be supervised by a parent or guardian. If you've already attended a hive check, please don't sign up until the day before or Friday to allow room for newcomers. Call the library at 486-8686 to sign up for your spot for for Saturday's Hive Check. And remember, library hours are Mondays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Attention, Kodiak High School class of 1973. Join us for a reunion dinner on September 2nd. For more information, visit myevent.com/Kodiak73. That's myevent.com/Kodiak73. Or call Janelle Panamaroff at 425-879-7067 or Terry Burnett Johnson at 907-654-7713. Help spread the word and see you on September 2nd.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the midday report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.